All-American Auto Ranch dealership is now open. Todd McCurry here for the all-new Ontario Auto Ranch. We're excited to continue our growth into the Western Treasure Valley. Now with dealerships in Mountain Home, Meridian, and Ontario, the legendary Auto Ranch savings are never more than a few minutes away. During our spring clearance event in Ontario, get a new Ram 1500 quad cab for only $149 a month. That's just $149 a month. Or choose 0% interest for 7 years on all remaining 2015 Dodge Darts or Chrysler 200s. Ontario Auto Ranch has the area's deepest discounts on all new Ram trucks, Jeeps, Dodges, and Chryslers, plus every used car, truck, and SUV in stock during our pre-grand opening sale. Ontario Auto Ranch, now open at the old Hannigan Dodge site on Southwest 4th Avenue in Ontario. Expect your best price on every vehicle in stock and the world-class service we're known for at the ranch. Come see us in Ontario or online at OntarioAutoRanch.com, where we do business a better way.
Ram truck number 427, lease based on 22840, 2500 cash down, 24 months on approved credit, price plus license, title, and dealer admin fee of $115.
Welcome to Money Matters with certified financial planner Dave Pezzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Pezzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Pezzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Pezzo.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. Every Monday I come in and talk with Kevin Miller, and we're going to play that. I'll be live after that, so shoot us an email, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hi, we're the KIDR. Great friend Dave Pezzo with us. Phone number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Now, should we start with the good news or the bad news?
Let's go bad.
All right, the bad news is Donald Trump says that a recession is on the way. We talked a little bit about this last week.
We did.
And gloom and doomers and everything else. Has anything changed in your opinion? And is it let me strike that, Your Honor.
Okay.
Is there any way to avoid a recession, or do these just happen?
Yeah, I think they just happen. I really do. I don't think you really can. We're trying to now with the Federal Reserve, and I think it's a bit of an overreach when we try so hard to manipulate business and cash flows and interest with interest rates and buying bonds, things like that. It's trying to fight the nature of the overall markets where we have booms and busts. Now, I think it's good from the standpoint that you don't boom as much anymore and bring in inflation and then we bust and then we have huge unemployment rates. It's different and it's moderated and much, and of course that has a lot to do with the fact that we're a service-oriented economy, not the old boom and bust of building things, which when times are good, great, build things, and then when it falls apart, it's a real problem. So, Kevin, I don't think they can really repeal that. I applaud the efforts to a degree, but when you overly manipulate it, which whether we had to save it this time or not, we certainly are in a position now where the Fed wishes they really had rates already a little bit higher, because the markets kind of freak out all the time whenever we talk about a quarter of a point rise.
Dave Pezzo with us, Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, Kevin Miller in the morning on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO, because I was going to say it's almost like a natural occurring cycle, if you will. And we still have a lot of folks that are not in the stock market. Bernie Sanders says the stock market's rigged. Your thoughts on the stock market being rigged?
It's not. There are certain aspects of it. I think the high-frequency trading is a rigged situation. They are working on it. There's actually a new stock market being developed now to try to keep people from being able to front run and squeeze a penny off. Now, you know, when you talk about a penny, people go, who cares about that? Well, a penny times millions of shares every day, multiple times, is a lot.
And by the way, what Dave is referencing, if you really want more details on that and a really entertaining movie, is go see The Big Short.
Yeah.
Because that's really essentially what happened. These computers at microseconds,
yep,
would create billions and billions of dollars. It's interesting as we move along. So what about Bernie Sanders, though, saying that a lot of Americans, a lot of young people, are backing Bernie?
Well, they are. And of course, that just shows how bad the education system is. These are the very people that will be most affected, destroyed by the fact that what we should do is more of government, more of taxation, more of regulation, and more promises. We already can't pay for the promises we have. Even Bernie knows that. But the bill won't come due until after Bernie actually is dead. So, but it will come due for the young people that are all excited about Bernie. So it is a weird situation where people want to believe what they believe rather than the facts in front of their face. And it's a sad thing because, as somebody has said many years ago, we lost 50 years ago in the education system, and now we're really paying that price and will for decades as people do not understand the economy. They do not understand the greatness of America. They don't understand the premise of our great country, and that it, based on individual freedom, we all live better. That just isn't a message that comes through, it appears to me, in any education system here.
Dave Petzl with us. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Remember, you can always catch Dave Saturdays 8 to 10 right here at Idaho's Talk Station. 580 KIDO. Let me hit you with this one. Cars having an incredible run two or three years now. And I was just at our friends Team Subaru, Team Mazda the other day, hanging out with those folks. And they're doing well. The Ford dealerships are doing well. Toyota's doing well. I actually took a tour of the car dealerships here, just kind of doing some research for this segment.
Mm-hmm.
Is it sustainable? And what has led to this growth in the car industry?
Well, good question. And, of course, we don't know the future, but it seems to be very sustainable. Is it sustainable? Yes. Will it be? We'll see if the economy can sustain it. But the answer is it can, because the age of the fleet has gotten to be quite old. So the average car driving down the road is like 12 years old. It's
even with all the car buying going on.
Exactly. So we have room for many more years of very active car buying in our country. I think that especially with some of the innovations, the cars are just so good, and you know, the computers on board, and they're not that much more expensive than they were with all of the new technology embedded. So, yeah, when somebody's driving around a 10-year-old car and sees the new ones now, we're not far from, you know, you take over, Siri, I'm going to take a little nap here, and having Siri drive the car down the road. It's amazing. And that to me, I think, is going to be the next giant leap forward in automobiles. And I don't even know if you can really call it an automobile. I think it's going to be, you know, this combination of Ford and Google, or, you know, and Apple and all these other companies that are going to be designing the interior of the car as they build the exterior.
Dave Petzl with us here. I just wonder about this because, you know, we take a look at the car business, it's blowing up. And then, you know, I was at a restaurant the other day and people were talking about real estate. And you got people working at the bar there, at the sports pub, whatever you want to call it, and they're also doing real estate. And they claim that times are good.
They are good. I don't know how long they'll last, but they are good. There's no question about that. They're really good out there. But as far as if you're talking about single-family homes and flipping them and things like that, Kevin, is that what you mean?
Well, no, these people are just, they've gotten their real estate license again, and everybody's selling real estate.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's easier to get a license than it is to go sell houses. I think it takes a lot of time, and there are some realtors undoubtedly that are doing very, very well. But it isn't as easy as getting a license and then showing people a house. And these folks work at it, and they know how to work at it and build a network. It takes time. But you're right. Real estate's doing well. It's doing well.
Doing well here in the Treasure Valley. Now,
The higher end, Kevin. You know, as far as developers, we're really seeing some amazing developments going on, as you well know.
And let's talk a little bit about that in a minute. Now, this is the first time that you two have ever met our great friend Dave Petzl, who's been on the air here for over, 27 years?
Yeah,
28, 29, 30.
I'm not sure if this is working.
Well, just like everything around here, don't worry about it. Ronnie from Caldwell joins us now at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Ronnie.
Hey, dudes, what's that?
Not much.
I got it.
Go ahead, Ronnie.
You've been having Petzl on a lot lately, and Dave, I love you, dude. You're a good guy, and I listen to your show sometimes, but the big bust is coming. It's clear and present danger, dude. I don't understand why you keep acting like everything's okay. And even Millie told me, you know what, Ronnie, I think you're right. Dude, it's coming, dude.
When did I tell you that?
I don't remember exactly, but, you know, the big bus, all the signs are there, Petso, and if you just look around a little bit and get out of that little pocket of Boise that you're in, first of all, look at all the people driving around in big trucks now, dude. They're back again. The big tires, lots of money, all those construction guys think they're rich again. That's a sign.
That's a sign of
what? Right. That sounds it's like a sign of prosperity. That's a good thing, isn't it? A good thing.
No, it's a sign that they're financing everything and they're over there. They're getting themselves into huge debt. And then when next thing you know, the market shifts and then everything. They don't own anything and
Ronnie,
they lose it all.
Do you have big tire envy here? Or?
No, I don't, dude. I'm more into hot rod cars. You know that, and Millie could tell you I've got a Camaro that'll blow your mind. But. The thing is, Petso, that I think, here's what I want to get to. I think you're doing something that makes your mind altered.
Well, I am. You're right. I am having a cup of coffee here.
Uh-huh.
Is there a point to this, Ronnie?
There certainly is. I know your show, and you've got to have a point to call in. Petso, it just seems like you're way too happy, if you know what I mean. And there's times where I want to just say, what is he taking every morning? Because I'd like to get some of that, too.
Yeah, well, that's, actually, thank you, Ronnie. That's very nice of you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much.
We don't need to encourage him.
Yeah, well.
I know. Anything else, Ronnie?
Does he take certain supplements?
All right, Ronnie, thank you for the call.
You know, it is. Actually, you're right. It's a point of prosperity. I understand what he's saying, though. We get concerned that boom leads to bust. It does. It always has. But here's the thing. We don't sit here during times when we're doing okay and say it's just around the next corner where we're going to implode. I don't know why there's this implosion thought process for the past 5 years. It's different to me, Kevin, than it's been in the past where people say, I think we're a little ahead of ourselves. We're probably due for a little correction in here. People are like, yeah, I think you're right. We could pull back here. But no, it's not a pullback. It's in the minds of so many people on the internet, particularly if you will, it's a huge, massive problem that we're going to collapse into. Not a pullback.
You had it out with Terry last week about this. This is becoming quite a controversial segment. Let's go to Security Guard Mike at 580KIDO. Good morning, Security Guard Mike.
Hey, yes, I just wanted to tell Dave Petso that I think I used to be a little skeptical of him, and it's part of that, but I think it's contagious with me. I think he's great. I think he's on the right track. He's being positive about the economy, and more people stay on board with that, and then the economy will continue to grow.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Because I can't have the kumbaya moment too much. Dave Petzl probably doesn't agree with you on Donald Trump.
Okay, so he may not agree with about Donald Trump, but, hey, I'm willing to compromise. If it looks like they're going to put Ted Cruz or we're going to have President Clinton, we got to go with the Republicans. I'm sorry. I love Donald Trump, but it looks like they washed him out in Colorado.
Were you in on that, Dave Petzl?
You really are trying to get me run over today, aren't you?
I love Donald Trump, but, you know, we have to go with the Republican, and we're going to have to stomach them. Ted Cruz, that's what we're going to end up with. But I just want to say Dave Petzl is a pretty good guy. I didn't think he was so great in the beginning, but as I listen to him, I think he's on the right track.
Thank you, sir.
With positivism.
I appreciate that. Thank you
very
much.
I love you. I love you, Kevin. You're great for the treasure metal, like I always say. And thank you for doing what you do out here. And we appreciate you. I love listening to you every morning. And you're a great guy. Thank you very much.
God bless. Love you, Security Guard Mike.
Bye-bye.
Coming up next, the five best car brands in America. Dave Petzl on Money.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzl on Idaho's Talk Station. 580 KITO.
Each year, millions of illnesses in the U.S. can be traced to contaminated foods. Your local public health department helps to identify, manage, and prevent this and many other health-related issues. I'm Marjorie McGinn, President of Women in Government, an organization of women state legislators. Women in Government wants you to learn more about how public health departments are saving lives. They make life better for all of us. To learn more, visit Women in Government
with Dave Petzl. On Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller, Dave Petzl, as we move along. Remember Dave Petzl, Petzl Financial, Petzl Center. All right, from USA Today, the five best brands of car by J.D. Powers. Any thoughts on the best band, best brand of cars in America?
Gosh, you know, I get, I'm not much of a car guy, Kevin. I know that the U.S. cars have gotten so much better that you can't just make the blanket statement that you have to buy foreign if you want high quality. I think that
It's all about foreign in this one.
Yeah, I'm guessing it still is, but I'm going to go for the best bang for the buck on the quality side. I'm going to take a stab at Acura.
Okay, this is the 2016 from J.D. Powers Vehicle Dependability Study, which rates car makers based on the number of problems per 100 vehicles. Audi, number one.
Wow.
Subaru, number two. Lexus, number three. Porsche and BMW.
How about that? I missed it. Not even in the top five.
Subaru, how about that? The only one that, they have that, what is it, the rapidly growing manufacturer of low-priced four-wheel drive cars.
You know, that's really key. You know, because a couple of those you mentioned in there are Porsche or whatever. They don't make that many, and they make super expensive cars. I would throw them out. I think you have to be talking about a car that's not necessarily the lowest level is going to be over 50,000. If you can, some of these guys making it, like Subaru making a great car that's that reliable for $30,000, that's impressive.
It is. Now, are you excited about paying your taxes?
I am always excited about paying my taxes, Kevin. I love paying my taxes.
Are you excited about it? I mean, it's coming up. Here we go.
It's coming up, and, but it is. It's for most people, it's all year long. But for business people like myself, the big bulk comes on April 15th. It does every year.
Now, before we get to some points that you've talked about with our friends at Channel 7, in case you missed the tie-wearing Dave Petzo as opposed to the non-tie-wearing Dave Petzo here at 580KIDO, when we're taking a look at financial planners and advisors, and we talk about this time to time, and you and I have had an in-depth discussion off the air about this, we can't reiterate enough that you have to go with someone reputable, credible, that's going to take care of you. And we don't mean to talk about hyperbole, but there are a lot of folks that, you know, like a lot of things, they promise stuff and they don't deliver. So for people listening right now at 580KIDO, can you give some folks some advice?
Yeah, well, they just came out with a new labor law. We can maybe touch on that, too. This is a huge bipartisan against and also a huge overreach by this administration. Can you imagine the Labor Department now? Just think about that. The Labor Department is now deciding how you need to invest and the rules governing how you hire an advisor for your IRAs. It's weird to me. It's just so bizarre. But we are in bizarre land. And one of the things that we have been brought into bizarre land is because of what you're talking about, Kevin, and that is how do you, why are people not held accountable for, in a very confusing world, to say things like you can get stock market returns with no risk. I mean, people know that's not time to time. So how can they say that?
Right.
You know, and the answer is because the laws aren't very tough in regards to that. They are on the security side. But this is my opinion of this, is that we brought it on ourselves by not dealing with this, that the feds have finally said we're going to step in and do this, even if it is weird and bizarre and an overreach to have it done by the Labor Department. The SEC has been working on a whole new group of rules. Now, through this engagement, there's going to be much stiffer penalties for those people that make stuff up. And some products that are currently being marketed, I believe, will be completely disallowed because of the high costs. So we'll see what happens, Kevin, with it. But to answer your question, that's the Labor Department stepped in because, as you know, the ability for people to get away with for a very long time, basically stealing from people, is gone on too long.
Is there any way that you should investigate folks or do a Google search on them before you trust them with your money?
Great point, Kevin. Absolutely. You have to go to FINRA's broker search. It's broker check. I mean, I'm there. Everybody who is licensed with FINRA is there. And it gives our complete employment background. And if you see that Petzo's worked for 10 different broker dealers in the last 12 years, that's a problem. Why would you do that? You know, as you know, we're going through a transition now that's lasted now 4 months. This is not easy, and it's cost us $500,000. That's serious money to do that. You don't do that all the time. You do that rarely in your career. And people that do it a lot, there's a problem. What if there's a lot of complaints? We actually saw a local guy here whose mother complained. But it's there. And if you don't know where to get it, you can actually go to our website, and there's a link to BrokerCheck. So you absolutely check that out. Now, if a person isn't listed there, it's because they don't have a securities license. They've only got an insurance license. And so they're only going to be peddling you the annuities. And to me, that's a huge problem. And the reason they don't license is because on the securities side, there are huge penalties for making stuff up. And so that's why they don't. So if you have only an insurance license, to me that's a red flag as well. So I would look for a certified financial planner. Not a lot of problems. Anybody can complain. I get that. But at least an explanation of why there's a complaint there, or multiple changes. Experience 5 to 10 years minimum before somebody is a little less dangerous to people. I think these are really important things because it is a very complicated, complex world and very confusing. And it's easy for, if you will, the bad guys to confuse you and extract your money.
That information is available on your website. What's your website?
PetsoFinancial.com.
And we continue on with our great friend Dave Petso, Petso Center, Petso Financial, Petso on Facebook, Petso Twitter. Let's talk a little bit about the first quarter. Those results should be coming in. A lot of reports coming up soon.
We are. Actually, I think we start today after the close. Alcoa is the traditional kickoff. But the heart of the season starts really in a couple weeks.
Indeed. And I guess there's also going to be a report on inflation this week as well.
There will be. But there's ongoing. There's so many reports, Kevin. There's a lot of noise out there, as you know. There's just every day. The market's doing this, doing that, whether it's how much oil we have in the tankers for storage and gas and all those things. There's always a lot of noise around the markets, and it tends to actually pull us away from this simple fact. Our corporations, which is why quarterly earnings season is important, are corporations broadly making more money than they were before? Because that's the mother's milk of the market. It's our corporate profits coming in. And sometimes not just necessarily profits, but is the cash flow there to raise dividends for the investors to reinvest in the businesses to grow them?
And we'll find that out coming up. By the way, anything else you'd like to share with us?
You know, it is disappointing on this labor law, but it does phase in over a couple of years. But we're not sure how this is going to phase in. But be aware of this. The lowest level income people are the ones that are going to be affected. The fiduciary rule, which is what this governs all this, and what that simply means is you have to act only in the benefit of a client. Now, rather than getting into a debate of why that might not be good, it is obviously good to have that, but that already exists to upper middle and higher income people. It does not exist at the lowest level, and that is really going to impact their ability to go get help. And so I think it's a big issue, but we'll see how it unfolds over the next couple of years as it's phased in. Leave it to the government. It took over 1,000 pages to start writing these rules, so we really don't totally know what's in it. But I'll keep people abreast on Saturdays best we can as it evolves.
Anything else you'd like to share with us?
Life is good, Kevin.
Apparently, you and Ronnie are bonding.
Life is good, and I think we have to look for the abundance in our lives. I was sitting there thinking about that over the weekend, watching the Masters and all the wonderful things, and you and I talk about this off air all the time, how many incredible things in our lives, the things that we've had the amazing opportunity to do. And you know what? Average people living in America do have the same amazing opportunities. But we grumble a lot, we fuss a lot, and sometimes when you're in the midst of fussing, I don't think you just get that tap in the shoulder. Oh, time out. Look at that little magic thing happening over there. We get fussy, and we don't see how abundant and wonderful our lives are. And it does affect the way we invest and see the world.
And the grass isn't always greener.
It is not.
Dave Petso, Petso Financial, we appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kevin. Always a pleasure.
You're listening to Kevin Miller on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. Idaho Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Yes, we are live, and would love to have you give us a call. It is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And, of course, for those of you that prefer email, that's fine. It is dave@petsofinancial.net. Hopefully we'll get a lot of questions today. But I know we're heading into a beautiful time of year, and I know people are out and about, but that's what cell phones are for. So hopefully you're out not only listening and enjoying the day, but give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. You know, it is amazing to me as I look back over the last few months, right, and you talk about not just the main pundits, the Jim Cramers and all that stuff, but how negative everything is whenever there's a downturn at all. I mean, it's astounding when you think about that, in my mind. How we go when stocks go on sale, okay, and I'm just going to say that. I want you to really think about that. It's like, can you imagine going to the store and you pick out, you know, like Macy's is having a big sale. And so you buy a whole suit, whole wardrobe of clothes, right? Now, I got to stock up. I need a new suit. I need a couple of shirts. I need some pants and, you know, belts, whatever, some ties. So you spend a decent amount of money and you get your clothes. And you walk up to the cashier and you say, you know, I want you to hold on to these until the sale is off. Then give me a call. Who does that? Well, of course, the answer is nobody does that. We all wait for prices to go on sale. We always do in all things except investing. And it's not just stocks. Except stocks get quoted every second of every day, so it's right in your face. You could make a decision to buy or sell instantaneously. Just boom, boom, it's gone. Bad decision, too late, gone. But I know you're not emotional, and you don't make bad emotional decisions. You don't really worry at all when the price goes down. You don't wonder ever if you should sell before it's all gone, before you know it turns into another 2008. Is that what we mean? Or 2000 through 02, or 73 and 4, or a 1987 stock market crash. So as we go through all of those, we realize that the market has moved from 800 to 17,000. More than 20-fold in my career. And I'm just simply a young man still. Seriously. In my career, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has faced correction after correction after correction, just dozens of them, dozens. Major bear markets, two of the worst of my entire life within the last 15 years. Two. A market crash, the worst ever. It's had bird flu, Asian flu, currency crises. I know this one's going to be worse. You know, when our dollar collapses, according to Peter Schiff and all the others, and the Treasury bonds collapse, I know that it's been 5 years we've been calling for that. And actually, the dollar's gotten stronger, but we all understand cognitive dissonance. It just means it's going to be worse. I get that. I'm never wrong. It's just going to be worse. In spite of all that, as we all stand around and wonder what the market's going to do, here's what it's going to do. Hopefully you have a pen and paper. I want you to write this down. It will occasionally correct, meaning pull back, from all-time highs. Bounce around a little bit from time to time, and then it will, not in a straight line, of course, go higher and set all-time highs again. This is what the pattern's been for 200 years. Now, I recognize that what we want to try to do is zigzag and get in and out because there's a way to do that, and we know we could do that. The traders are so awesome, rock star. I just need to tie into the right people. I need the right trading program. I need the right algorithm. Or we could own the great corporations of the world that consistently increase our income year after year. And when they do give us a chance, and they do once in a while, in one of those general corrective modes where a great corporation, even though business is strong, goes on sale. It goes on sale. Sometimes quite dramatically. Today we're offering one-third off sale for your future income. No, just, no, don't tell me that. You can't believe. Let me just read the newspaper to you. Okay? 19 trillion dollars in debt. Insurmountable. Boneheads in D.C. Have you seen this presidential election? Can you believe this? What's going to happen? I can't believe it. We're going to have a trade war. That's it. We're going to have a trade war. Are we? We got a socialist running at 90%. Can you? What's that? How are we ever going to address these unfunded liabilities? Are you kidding me? $70 trillion of unfunded liabilities. It's unbelievable. And we can't have a crook. Are you Hillary? A criminal? A known criminal is going to be. What are we going to do? I mean, the whole thing's going to come down. Right? I mean, isn't it? Isn't it all going to come apart? 5 years ago, when we were worrying about Europe, isn't it all going to implode, right? It's all going to implode. It's all going to come apart. Europe is going to come apart, and that's going to affect us. The European contagion, the pigs nations, contagion accelerating and accelerating and accelerating, right? We're never going to stop ISIS. I mean, this president has rolled back everything. The Middle East is on fire. Oil prices are going to go to $200, $300 a barrel. Do I hear $400? Do I hear $500? Here we go. Bidding war. Oops. Technology discovers cheap energy. And the weirdness, too, is even in existing wells that were supposed to be dry. For decades, I am not joking, it was like, we don't know where the oil comes from. It just keeps coming. We don't know. But that's a bad now. Now, you got to understand, because that's really bad. It's not bad that oil was going higher compared to going lower. It's bad that you have more money in your pocket. That's horrible. Horrifying. I know. You thought it was good. You probably thought that was good for the economy and good for the consumer, meaning you and I. But it's not. It's not. The new dialogue is, it's all about energy prices. They're going down. Boom. That's it. And the market's going to tank. Well, what is it? Do you ever stop to wonder, what is it that we're looking for? Does that make any logical sense? It's bad if it goes up, it's bad if it goes down, it's bad if it goes sideways. We don't have enough. I mean, if the market's like pausing, like on Friday, you hear all the traders, man, alive, God, this is really terrible. I mean, it's so dull. I mean, I can't make money. Can't trade. Wow, that's a tragedy. That's a bad market. It rested after having a great week. It rested. Take a day off. Just sit around. Do nothing. That's fine. As the great corporations of the world coin a little bit more money, raise a few dividends here, and off we go again. But this game has to be traded. It has to be a big shot deal. Yeah, I called that market crash. Yep, I let it get out, you know, a year ago. Yep, nailed that one. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you should be running Goldman Sachs because you call it all the time. We all know what we know, and we're clever by half. We kind of sort of understand that, don't we? That we oftentimes outfox ourselves. But it's important to stop and recognize how really crummy we are. We're really bad at this. By the way, I'll bet you're a whole lot worse than you think you are. We'll talk more about that, but I got to take a break. And I would really rather talk to you. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. And, of course, we're live and would love to be with you on the phone. 580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and please do join us. We'd love to hear from you. It's 580-5436. It's 580-KIVO. And, of course, email is dave@petsofinancial.net. That's your live email. And speaking of that, let's take one here from Phil. I am retired and reading a lot about the bucket strategy. Could you give me your opinion on it? Thanks. I love that question because that is, the core in retirement of what people are trying to do. And that is cost of living, adjusted income, all the days of your life, and you can't run out. Here's the problem I have with the bucket strategy. I don't mind anything super simple. I love that thought process. I really do. But I don't think it's that simple. Not when interest rates are where they are. It could be if interest rates were higher, if we knew that inflation wouldn't take off, we knew all that things would be kind of like stable for the next 20, 30, 40 years of your retirement. If we knew you would only live to be, 85 or 90, instead of the possibility of pretty much everybody living past 100. That's the problem. Now, let's break down what is the bucket strategy, basically, okay? If I miss some little piece of it, forgive me, it's a little bit of a different type of, it's a little harder on the radio. So try to understand as we're going through, you try to set aside in buckets, meaning, a bucket of money or a cordoning off a certain amount of money, meaning a certain time frame of how much money you need for a certain period. Like, what I'm going to need over the next 5 years, bucket one. What I'm going to need after that, bucket two. Or, for the next few years. Bucket three, four, and there's multiple ones. There's, an emergency bucket. There's all kinds of things. But here's the problem that I see. We're going to put everything into stocks. And that's what we're going to use for, not everything, but, everything that's, say, 10 years plus. That's typically the thought process. Everything goes in there. That's the 10-year bucket. So we're just going to, because most of the time the market does good. Almost all the time it's up over a 10-year period. And almost all the time it's up close to its averages, right? It does okay in the long run. And then in theory, so we're going to put this aside, that's smart, and it is smart, because that stops us from focusing on the up and down of that piece. And, of course, reacting or overreacting and killing our portfolio. The problem, as I see it, is you're putting a massive amount of money, huge percentage of it, in assets today that can't earn any money, whether it's an annuity. And, of course, they could get in the whole story of the, annuity sales sharks out there pushing out products that won't work. But that's not what I'm talking about. You put it into like a five-year annuity, and they'll pay you, half a percent. Or a CD or whatever. Okay, so you put it in this bucket. And we're making no money. In fact, we're losing money to inflation every year on our bucket. And I don't see how that's okay. To say, for the next 10 years, we're going to lose money on our bucket. This makes no sense to me. And it's not just a question of, it makes no sense because I'm trying to hit a home run. It makes no sense because I want to leave millions of dollars. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not the point. The point is, how do I provide cost of living adjusted income all the days of my life? So as we're going through that, that's where I have a problem with it. I don't think it adjusts to the ground conditions. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying you're trying to time the market at all. I'm simply saying it's okay to notice that interest rates on 10 years worth of income, I am going to lose money to inflation. Meaning, how much am I supposed to take out of this money-losing scheme? How much am I relying on my stocks to do to make up for the fact that I have to put so much money in this front-loaded bucket because it isn't earning anything for ages? And finally, the biggest problem I have is I think that you don't have to overreact to the markets. But simply looking around and saying, I've got a bucket for, if the market isn't doing well, I've got a couple years' worth of income over here. And besides, the income is partially being provided by the dividend stream from my stock portfolio, from the income stream from my bond portfolio. So even the 2 years over here doesn't drain very fast. It really represents more like 4 or 5 years worth of income. But let's just say we have this example and we have a little bit of income there and the market has a really good year. I mean, a really good year. You know, let's say, for example, you know, the market never seems to do anything normal. It really doesn't. The last couple of years, the only thing working, and I mean the only thing working in the entire world, are gigantic U.S. only growth stocks. That's it. Nothing else works. Nothing else. I mean, if you Procter & Gamble, flat to down. Now, what do I mean by Procter & Gamble? What I mean by Procter & Gamble is the dividend-paying stocks, the core of most investors' portfolios, hasn't worked. Price-wise, total return-wise, has it worked in paying its dividends and increasing its dividends? Yes, it has. So it's worked, but not how we think. As if we think of small-cap stocks, they're actually down pretty severely over the past couple of years. So are mid-caps. So are value stocks, even the large ones. Anything foreign, forget about it. But we all think we want a diversified portfolio until all of a sudden we go, hey, how come I don't have 100% of my money in Amazon? I don't know. Gosh, why didn't I just go out and buy Amazon, Priceline, and Google? I mean, come on. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. That's it. You know, that's like the FANG stocks. And that's it. It's all about FANG. So we look at that. And we say, oh, my gosh, you know, well, the market is doing very, very well. Or a sector, meaning now we have a rally back in small cap instead of being way underneath the large cap brethren. Now, all of a sudden, they're soaring, say. And that small cap area goes up, say, 20%. I think instead of having a bucket that says don't touch for 10 years, that we say, yeah, touch it. That's done really good. Let's harvest some of those gains and we'll leave our emergency funds alone for right now. Because we know sometime down the road, we're going to have a tough time, and I don't want to sell stocks to provide that income at all. So we leave our emergency depending on the conditions. What the market tells us, not what our guess is. What is doing well? Harvest. What's doing poorly? Leave it alone. Keep things diversified. Keep things balanced. Keep the end in mind. The end is cost of living adjusted income all the days of my life, regardless of what noise is happening out there. But I do like the bucket for having some simplistic way of saying, leave this alone. Don't be silly. Leave it alone. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Again, like I said, we're going to talk about how bad we really are at investing. Yeah, you. I'm talking about you and me. Hello and welcome to hour number 2 of Money Matters. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. They're not my broker-dealer. They're just my opinions, not the station. And we're not here to tell you to buy, buy, buy and sell, sell, sell and just give you the headlines of the day. In fact, most importantly, I'm not here to scare you to death at all about how we're all going to die, the dollar's going to implode, and I'm guessing that gold is going to the moon. Don't know what gold's going to do. I assume it'll continue to not earn a dividend, not become more productive, not change in any way. Just sit there. That's what I assume gold will do. Why that's part of a portfolio or a discussion of why it should be part of a portfolio is baffling to me when there are so many things that do become more productive and generate increasing streams of income to their investors. But that's another discussion. I don't know what the stock market's going to do. Weird. Weird. But I don't. Except if we think of things on a long-term basis, and of course, past performance is not a guarantee of future results. But during my entire life, my father's life, my grandfather's life, his grandparents' lives, stocks have gone up and then corrected, gone back to all-time highs, correct, go back to all-time highs, correct. There's a little bit of a pattern here if you write it down. Now, if you're a technician, that doesn't work. Technicians are folks that draw squiggles on charts, because we humans have this incredible need
to know why. Why is the sky blue? Grandpa, why does the wind blow? It's fascinating, and it's a fascinating world, and I sometimes feel like a child because I'm always wondering why myself. But why does the market move like not at all?
Well, it's because it's oil,
or it's Europe, or it's banks, or it's the Fed said this. We all have to have something on every little tiny movement because they have to have something to report. When all of us should be just turning off the TV and getting on with our lives. But we don't. We have to all try to figure it out. And so we're going to go online, and we're going to Google this and Google that, and we're going to Google end of world. Oh, and that'll lead us further into end of world thought process. Here's why gold's going to the moon, the gold standard, the this, the that, da-da. On and on. So we can get thoroughly fussed. Now, I know there's those that say, well, no, I'm just really conservative, and I'm just concerned, and I just like to be informed, you know, of what's going on and just be concerned. No, I understand that, and that's a great way of putting that you're fussed and worried. It's nice. Sounds more intelligent than I'm fussed and worried. I get it. I get it. But we all are, and diving into that stuff day in and day out does not help. And so we try not give you some Pollyannish view of what the world is doing or going to do, or that everything is all hunky-dory, because it's not. Incomes haven't gone up in this country. Everybody's angry. 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 You live like a king. You live better than anybody ever has in the whole wide world, but we're mad. And I think we should be mad. It's time for a revolution in this country. I agree. These guys don't get it. I don't want to be cared for. I don't want to pay half of my money and then have them dole it out to somebody else. I don't know who thinks they have a right to do that. I want to know what the moral compass is for why you know better how to give my money away. Who I should hire. How much I should pay them. People that have never run a business making these decisions for me. Love it. Oh, I want my freedom. We all do. We're all angry. It doesn't mean the world is ending. Maybe the world's changing for the better. Maybe we're finally going to slow down the growth of this organism. I almost said the other word. Organism. That just sucks the life out of everything. This bacteria fed that just like grows and grows and grows. And if it makes you sick, it grows more. If it isn't working, they feed it more. Oh, the problem with this isn't that it's bad. It needs more money. Oh, okay. And we give it more. So it takes more from us. And that's what government does. And it always does. How can we stop it? Don't we need kind of a revolution? Maybe that's what we're getting. I mean, really, Donald Trump, Bernie, and a criminal. Wow, this is so weird. It's all real weird, and I get that. It scares people. But again, when we kind of bring this back and we talk about, well, what's going to happen this election? And again, it makes for great debate and market angst. So I ask this question. What does any of that have to do with Kimberly Clark selling more tissues and diapers? What does that have to do with Pepsi and Coke? What does it have to do with Intel? What does all that have to do? Can it possibly be worse than being the highest taxed nation on earth for our businesses? Can it be worse? Can it be a worse environment than that? I guess it could be that we're leading by even more. in that department. But it isn't exactly a pro-business environment that the companies have adjusted to and are selling more stuff all over the world. Do you think if, let's just pretend you're scared of Donald Trump. Do you think Apple is going to stop selling cell phones around the world if Donald Trump is the president? Let's say if you're terrified of Hillary, do you think that Apple is going down? That Samsung's going to sell more because Hillary's president? Do you think we'll stop driving our cars if Bernie is president? Yeah, I know all the social things and all the other things, but what I'm saying, this is finance. We're talking finance here. I'm not talking about your guns. I'm not talking about immoral behavior and things like that. That's different. I'm talking about finances and why and how we tie this all together in our minds. And we don't invest because of make up anything you want. And how we get online and we tap in a few things and then we just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper into the doom and gloom. And we get so caught up in it. We get perfect confirmation bias because they all talk about the same stuff. Now they shift from one catastrophe to the next because the catastrophe comes and goes. You know, the blood moons and Shemitah just somehow didn't ruin the world, but this new thing over here. The Soviet Union and China were going to get together and create some kind of global currency. And everybody's all freaked out about 5 years ago. Oh, this is going to be really all it's terrible because now we won't be the world reserve currency. Dave, what do you think what happens when we're not the world's reserve currency anymore, huh? What happens? I don't know. Well, that's not good enough because I've been online for 20 hours. I understand. I'm an expert on it now. Okay. So what you're saying is everybody's going to trust the yuan, which is a totally controlled currency by a communist nation, or the ruble, which is run by thugs. Yeah, it's a done deal. They don't want the dollar anymore. Right. We want the Russian mafia or the Chinese. Okay. We convince ourselves of what is, to me, is common sense. Like, no, that's not going to happen. Are we going to have a global currency? So, probably, possibly. It makes sense for trade, doesn't it? I don't know. Does that mean that Procter & Gamble isn't going to sell any more soap? I don't think so. But we put all these things together to try to define, and I think we are clever by half. We're so smart, we outfox ourselves in this simple but kind of emotionally charged game because it's our money. It's our money. And money is security. Money is power. Money is chicks. It's a big deal. We don't ever like to think of it that way. Especially if you're not, you know, you go to church, you don't go, you know, money's really important to me. You kind of go, can I put this around? No, it's, you know, it's not important to me. No, we don't do anything weird at our household, you know, regarding money. We all do. It's a problem. But are we fearful of it? Some are. I have some now. I'm afraid to lose it. I don't have any. I'm afraid I won't. I'm afraid, afraid, afraid. It's an important thing. But if we think of our money as only our net worth, and so we run to the computer and push a button and determine how things are in our world. Am I secure? Am I not secure? Let me push the button and find out. As if all of life security is tied to that number. And when we do that, it creates in us a lot of angst when that number is not going the right direction. It gives us a false impression of what's happening, even sometimes for people that are accumulating their wealth. They're working and putting money away. But they're angry when the 401k balance goes down. 10 years from retirement. What am I going to do? I don't know. I think you get to buy more now with the next month's deposit. But it's your choice. If you really would like, you can freak out about getting some lower prices for while you're accumulating. But yeah, I mean, if you want, there's lots of things you can worry about that you can't do anything about that are actually good things. But hey, if you want to fuss, have at it. We get the wrong impression all the time. Because, why? Because we're just overthinking these all the time, and we let these inputs in constantly, constantly. And what it causes us to do is study after study, whether it's with Dalbar and Morningstar, every mutual fund company under the sun has done various studies. Peter Lynch said it best in my mind. It's like, you know, because he was like the greatest money manager of his time, okay? So far and away better than anybody else during his 15 years or so. I mean, there's, I think, you know, Warren Buffett for 50 years, John Templeton for over 30. I understand. There's better investors longer term. I get it. But everybody knows Peter Lynch was pretty much a rock star when he was running the fund. He did like, you know, 17 or 18% a year. It was a crazy number. And when he retired, he was asked this question: how do you feel about all the money you made for your investors? You got to be just so proud of that. He said, no, I'm not. The average investor in our fund didn't make money because they put money in and took it out all the time. As we would have a really good year, more money came in. If we had a bad year, out the door the money went. Can you imagine not making any money in the greatest investment during his? It's crazy. But it goes on and on and on. On and on. I don't want to give the names of mutual funds, so you know I'm not going to. It's not good. So this fund was the best. Okay? It returned 11.4. And this is only through 2013. Okay? Not the best. I'm sorry. I'm sure there's something out there. But it outperformed 99% of the people. 99%. The average investor dollar only made five. 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 Dalbar study. Greatest 20-year period bull market history, right? 1980 to 2000. Yes, right before the fall. Man, I mean, we're talking about you come in there, you're nailing it, right? That's an amazing period of time. Way more than average returns. Way in the mid-teens for average rate of return. How'd the average investor do? Less than five. But I know we need to go online and we need to really think about it. We need to push buttons and we need to figure out what our net worth is all the time. So we can make sure we carry this low-grade angst around all the time. We work on our human nature to get us a little more fussed and a little more worried. No, I know. I'm more informed. Are you? Are you more informed when you read a one-sided dialogue about why you should bet on the product they're selling you? Does that sound like broadening your horizons? It doesn't to me. And when the average investor can't do this, when we didn't have 24/7 in your face negativity, I don't think these numbers get better. I think they're getting worse. As an investor, if you can't understand this, you've got no chance. You suck. You absolutely suck at investing if you're a human being. This is counter to everything else in your life. And there are so few that really grasp that, that it's easy when times are down to buy. It's easy when things are good to sell and get over the fact that they keep going up and you missed out on even more gains. So hard. But we don't think it's hard. We don't acknowledge, as a human being, we're really bad at this. We are really bad at this. You know, just a quick example, and I got to go. Take a break. And hopefully you guys give us a call. 580-KIDO. Think about Apple stock. There's so much news that flies around on Apple all the time. It's insane. iPhone sales are down. iPhone sales are up. iPad. What about all the recurring revenue? It's starting to grow. I don't know how much that's worth. Here's what's happened. The iPhone is a whopping, like, 10 years old this year. 10. 10. It's changed the world. Totally changed the world. And it's 10. Now, if you bought Apple even well after the iPhone, you didn't catch the low at all, but you bought it. You invested in the company. You didn't trade it. You didn't look at every report every day. Well, I wonder why Apple's down. I wonder why Apple's up. I wonder what the charts say about the little squiggly line crossing here or that. Is it doomsday? I don't know. Was it doomsday on April 5th or February 15th? All the charts said it was. All the charts said, yeah. What was it? Oh, it was a low in the market. What do the charts say now? Well, the charts are looking pretty good. Sorry, you missed 14% recovery. Sorry. I'll bet the charts look good. And we look at Apple, and he's like, okay, are they selling more iPhones or iPads or i-somethings or music, whatever? Yeah. But we see sales are down over here, or this supplier over there, or this or that. And so people are like, wow, I don't know. Maybe I should sell. I don't know. I've doubled my money. I'm surprised to sell. I don't know. I don't know. Really? Really. That's what amounts to daily important information for us. It's not. It's noise. Clear-cut noise designed to get you to trade out of one of the greatest corporations ever. Now, I don't know what Apple's going to do. I'm not trying to sell you on buying Apple. But if you buy a company, own it. Not necessarily for the rest of your life, but don't listen to the psychos that are trying to get you to trade all the time. Well, if you'd only done this, if you only had a little straddle option strategy on this thing, well, what about, you know, stop loss orders? What about them? So if the stock goes down 10%, you sell out of a great corporation. Woohoo! That's brilliant. Just absolutely sheer brilliance. Make sure you catch the bottom. Really? Yeah, if it goes down 20, then it was a good idea to sell. But what if it shoots back higher? It goes down like 11 and then goes higher. Where are you? You're out with a now permanent loss. Do you chase it? Do you get back in? But what if it goes down 20? Are you a buyer now? You see, this idea that you invest in companies versus trading them is a very important one. Are you a speculator or are you an investor? Which are you? Which are you? Do you want growing streams of income all the days of your life? Then what does it matter? How does it help you in any possible way to fuss and worry about what your net worth is? They're not the same. But they absolutely can and do cause bad investing behavior. All right, I got to go. We got to take a break, and we need your phone calls. 580-5436, dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. We've got three people on the phones. Let's go straight at it. If you prefer email, give us a call. Shoot us an email, dave@petsofinancial.net. But right now, of course, as a priority, let's go to the phones. Chad, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dave, got a question for you about some rental properties.
Mm-hmm.
Had a tenant skip out, have a judgment against him. He has since quit his where he was working, so I don't have any way to garnish wages. It's been 4 or 5 years now. I'm at the point where the judgment will expire. If I don't know where he lives and have an address for him, is there a way to charge off the debt and write that against taxes?
Mm.
Or do I have to?
You know, that's a tough tax question. I actually, as far as that goes, if you have an actual loss on debt, the answer is yes, but it doesn't sound like it. You just have a loss of income, meaning you never got the income, therefore paying taxes on it. I don't think they're going to let you write off because you have no basis in it. Do you see what I mean?
Okay, even though there's a judgment.
The judgment is, I agree, but and I certainly think it's worthwhile asking. You've got 5 years here. That's a lot of, it is. And I think you want to ask a tax guy, is there any way around this? I just don't know. I'm sorry that happened to you. What a bummer.
Oh, you're fine. I was just curious.
Yeah. No, it's a good question, but I think you got to to me, the answer is no, probably, but I'm not a CPA. I think I would, obviously wait until a couple days after the 18th here. But, go ahead and ask, and I think you'll fairly quickly get your answer. You can even probably Google it online.
Yep. All right. Easy enough. Thank you.
Thanks, Chad.
Yep, have a good one.
Have a good day. Thank you. Bye-bye. Now let's go ahead and go to Jordan. Jordan, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good.
I was wondering what your thoughts are on Bitcoin and things of that nature.
Well, on Bitcoin, I love the technology. I think it's fascinating, from a security perspective. It's also going to mean that you and I and all the businesses out there, all the businesses except the financial businesses, are going to do slightly better because the cost to transact business are going to be a lot lower. We won't need all the processors out there to take a penny or two here and there off of our money to process it. And it's not that it's unfair. It's a solid business, and we all need that. But now this will enable us to do it very, very inexpensively. So it's going to rock the financial world. If you will, the American Expresses of the world. It's going to be a digitalizing problem for them, in my mind. As far as speculating on Bitcoin, I never understood it because it's a made-up currency that nothing backs it, and other made-up currencies are made up every day. And, I don't mean to make fun of this, but I don't know why I don't create my own, Petcoin, right?
Sure.
So let's do Petcoin. I'm going to do a billion of them, and I'll scrape out my $1 billion. I know it's a fiat currency and not worth anything, but I'll get my $1 billion, and then I put out Petcoin, and people can mine for it by solving algorithms. I find the whole thing bizarre. Do I think there'll be some digital currencies in the future? I absolutely do. There's no doubt in my mind that there will be. But I think we're all trying to wrap our minds around how to have this be a viable currency that has, it isn't just used for money laundering and drugs, right?
Sure. Well, people do invest in it. Is that something that you recommend or
no,
avoid?
I don't. Again, I just don't see. I can't. I can't wrap my mind around why I'm going to invest in Bitcoin. There's lots of really smart people that are. They're not. This is where it's misreported. They're not investing in Bitcoin. And I'm sure there are smart people that are. I'm just saying that all of these headlines like so-and-so, Goldman Sachs is putting money behind Bitcoin. No, they're not. They're putting money behind the chain technology or whatever is a chain link or something.
Blockchain.
Thank you. Technology. They're not buying Bitcoin. They're trying to figure out how to be one of the survivors in a world that doesn't need them as much to transact business.
Okay.
Those are your big investors. And by the way, it's very exciting to me in that particular area. There's a lot of money from Silicon Valley to Wall Street and around the world that is trying to figure out
how to get this technology broadly into how we transact all kinds of business. So blockchain is a real deal from everything I've been able to read. I don't understand it, but it's supposedly super secure and fantastic for transacting financial dealings.
Okay, well, I think that answers it for me.
All right, good. Jordan, thank you.
Thanks.
Have a great day. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I know we lost our last caller. That clears the board, so please do ring us up. We're going to take a break for Fox News right now, and hopefully you will be calling us, 580-KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel on Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO.
Hello and welcome, and thank you again for joining us. Now, please do, it's time to join us on the phone at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We do have a free board, so please do give us a call. We'd love to put you up. Hey, have an email question? We'll start there. Good morning, Dave, and good morning to you, Mike. Can an ever-growing stream of income from the great corporations of the world be created using mutual funds or ETFs? Or is it a collection of dividend stocks a more reliable method to create a growing stream of income? What is your preferred method and allocation for creating the holdings for a growing stream of income? Catch you on the podcast. Mike, thank you. I know you're a regular listener on the podcast. So, great question, really. It depends on the individual, but first of all, I think that the core of what you're doing, way before you get into buying or, you know, predicting on individual companies, is you should have a fund, a mutual fund, that's dedicated. And if you prefer ETFs, okay. I definitely do not. Not for long, long, long-term holdings. You can target that, but the problem is the way most of them are geared up, they can't adapt to what they need to adapt to, and that is the corporations change. The world changes all the time. So as we're changing and growing and all of the corporations are moving, we should be able to move the portfolio. And that is what I think most of the managers are going to be able to do, and ETF does not. Now, ETFs are getting better, so I do want to at least preface, you can do some stuff there, but at least be looking at some of the ETFs that will resort themselves and not just own those basic companies and nothing else. Okay? Now, beyond that, if you want to start dialing in and you want to learn about companies and you believe that their outlook is fantastic, well, okay, then you can add a few. But I don't think you start there. I think you start with the core being managed by gigantic teams of analysts that go all over the world to find those great corporations at bargain prices. You don't want them to be fast traders, but you can always see that in a turnover ratio, and there's plenty of them out there that do it for very low cost. And here's the secret, too. Some of them actually really do beat the market over long periods of time. Some of them do. They actually do. I know. The academics will tell you that's not possible, that's not true. Actually, it has been. So you can do that, and it seems to me to make more sense, and it's certainly less volatile than you owning your own stock portfolio. Okay? All right. So thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. But I do think the core, and for most people, they should not at all be owning individual stocks. Far too dangerous. They get married to them. They can't let them go. Or they won't sell something because it's down. They just want it to get back to even. There's a lot of different reasons psychologically that it's very difficult to trade individual stocks. Okay? Plus, most people aren't analysts. Just go like, I like Deere lawnmowers, so I'll go buy the stock. Sorry, that's really not a strategy. I'm sorry, it's not. You know, relative who they're competing against. How are they doing as far as their balance sheet? Yeah, I mean, the questions go on and on. It just doesn't make sense. Everybody in the whole wide world can love Tesla, and like the cars, but they don't make any money. That doesn't mean they won't someday. It's a real company. I'm just saying. Lots of companies out there, people know their products, have no idea what their finances are. None. None under the sun. So be careful. Be careful with that. All right. Thanks again for the question. Now, I wanted to dive into this, too, because I had a call that came in. Did not call back or want to stay on the air. So, but the question was twofold. On the fiduciary rule, the fiduciary standard, if you will, that was just passed last week, we talked a little bit about it. And again, just in case you're not like listening to every single program, it is an important one. It is an important rule that affects the way people will get advice in the future. It takes effect within a year, full effect in two. And right now, it's not a horror story. But it took, as it does, our bacterial government, it took them over 1,000 pages to write the rules. Now, that's the beginning rules. That's not the interpretation of the rules. That's not the new rules that will be written in between to complement the rules. Over 1,000 pages. So we don't really know all that much yet. Except the reach of government was greatly diminished over what the original was. That's a good thing. And again, it's a totally good premise. Making sure that investors are avoiding a lot of conflicts of interest. It's a good thing. It's a good idea. But the problem is that the lower end and middle income are not going to have as much service, I believe, as time goes on, to get started, to basically hire coaches to help encourage them to get them to save and save more and stay in the game. The good news is this. It appears that the biggest losers are going to be the annuities. Finally, because the state won't do anything, they won't. So the feds are stepping in. Finally. The problem is this. Good pieces, not so bad over here, but now the camel's in the tent. And this is the Department of Labor, for crying out loud. The arrogance of this administration is just off the charts. It's not even, you can't even measure it. There's no instrument that could measure the arrogance of this administration, that they're smarter than everybody else. I mean, wouldn't you expect things like this to come out of like the SEC that actually deals with finance? Department of Labor. Okay. Now, I thought they had like rules on hiring and you couldn't like not hire somebody because they were gay. You couldn't pay men more than women, minority kinds of things. I forgot that they were experts in how you should invest your IRAs. But apparently they are. And so that's a very huge fear. We'll see how it plays out. So I don't have a full read. Nobody does. We just don't know where this is going to go. But the good news is so far, it's not a horror show. So far. Okay? Hey, as far as the gold standard and all, I appreciate, Andy, the question. But as we discussed, I'm no expert on gold standard, and we've talked a lot about it. It just, the fear of this and diving in on absurd stuff on the Internet makes no sense to me. And doesn't lead us closer to the truth. It leads us further away. So I just kind of, you know, this idea that because China now, I mean, you know, it was China and the Russian ruble before. And then and we worried about that everybody's going to go to the euro. Okay. Now I'm supposed to be terrified because the dollar is going to end because apparently China is trying to adopt some sort of a gold standard on their yuan. Because I thoroughly trust China to be the global currency. Totally. I think everybody will and should. Because that can't go bad. You know, with all the rules of law that they abide by and you know, their non-controlled economy and transparency of all their corporations is just phenomenal. I'm pretty sure that everybody will embrace the new yuan as the global currency. So I just think these things sometimes are just silly and tomorrow will be something else to fuss about because how else can you sell without fear? You can't sell gold without fear. You can't sell end-worlding newsletters without fear. You can't. You can't. Fear is the thing. All right, we've got to take a quick break. And when we come back, we've got plenty of time to take your calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. 580 KITO.
I think we ought to just keep playing that. That's pretty good stuff. Teddy's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Welcome to Money Matters. Final segment here. I just have a couple minutes left, and I want to share a couple of thoughts with everybody. Nothing too deep here. Things aren't always as bad as they seem. We just get caught in our day-to-day grind. You know, with Kevin, I talked a little bit about this, and I talked about it from time to time, about how magic happens all around us all the time. It does. It does. And I'm going to go catch some of that, right? I'm going to hop on an airplane. I'm going to go see my grandbaby. That's magic, right? Playing with a one-year-old, two-year-old. Yeah, you grandparents know how that is, right? End of the day, hand them back, it's all good, right? It's a good thing. But I think in our lives, we just don't recognize day to day how many incredible things have happened to us. We take for granted that we can travel the world. A buddy of mine just getting back from a month in Ireland. And I'm sure he and his bride are working on their next global adventure. After working a lifetime in the greatest nation on earth. And we miss this. We spend all of our time talking about and dialoguing whether the market's going to go up or down or what the economy is going to do, what oil prices are or are not going to do. And everybody's wrong. They're all wrong. But we do this every day. And we don't recognize that the long-term trajectory is astounding. Yes, we go out, we need to fight the good fight. We have to. We have to. But this is so hard for us in investing. To not be looking at all the doom and gloom all the time and to take a step back and realize that, you know, 100 years ago, our average life expectancy was 47 years. 47. Only 14% of the households had a bathtub. 14%. 8% had a phone. Now, how many phones are in your house? Right, there's none. They're in your pocket. Teenagers walk around with the Library of Congress in their hand. I know, it's terrible. And I don't know if iPhone sales are going to go up or down this quarter. And I don't know about the iPad. Really? Really? I'm pretty worried about the economy. Guess what? Economies grow. And then they have tough times. Weird. It's been that way your whole life. Go ahead, guess it. It's worked really well for investors over years. You know, we think about this and wonder, I just wonder. You know, wages haven't gone up in this country in the last few years. And that's a problem, and I think we need to work on it. Don't get me wrong. But the average wage in 100 years ago was 22 cents per hour. which meant the average worker made between $200 and $400 a year. Women wash their hair once a month. You know what? I like a nice smelling woman too. I mean, it's good. It's good we all have showers and baths and deodorant and razors. It's good. It's not all bad. And I don't know if the economy is going to fall into a recession. But guessing 20 recessions for the one that we get, it's a sucker's play.